only that, that's like the least appropriate song for Northern California in a long time with all the rain that's been blowing through. But right now, it's kind of dry here in San Francisco. And maybe we can see clearly into the next year of the markets as well. Aaron Cannon joins us right now as the Chief Investment Officer and the CEO of Clear Harbor Asset Management with a look, some predictions, we'll call it, a look into the next year. As I look out into the San Francisco Bay right now, Aaron, I see it clear right now, strangely. But what do you see with the markets? Because it seems like they're very tough to figure right now.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back, Corey and Carol. What do we see? I would say that 2017 is a year where we believe that the weather forecasters in the street are probably a little too rosy, that they see clear skies on the earnings growth front. And we just think that a double-digit return earnings growth scenario is sort of a base case when we think about putting client portfolios together. It's just too aggressive. And there are multiple reasons for that, but ultimately valuations are at least historically elevated. The Fed's in play on the tightening side. Inflation is starting to pick up. We saw the wage inflation data on Friday. That could start to tamper and cap margin expansion at many sort of sector levels. And so, we're sort of cautious there. Certainly we're allocating capital, but I think what you saw at the back half of 16 was that value outperformed the overall benchmarks here in the United States. And that wouldn't surprise me that, we start to have a sort of a pickier investor community looking at opportunities in the midst of this uncertainty, and that value in 17 could capture more legs than the overall indices.
And we should point out, and I mentioned it to our listeners earlier, Aaron, is that you guys got several macro calls right for last year, and that was the earnings underperformance, a dovish Fed. Okay, so maybe it's not going to be as optimistic as some folks are talking about. So drill down a little bit, get a little bit more specific then. Are you changing kind of portfolio allocations at this point? And if so, how?
Well, I part of it is, if you have a new client arrive here at Clear Harbor today, how do you feel in allocating to particular asset classes? So we just talked about equities, and if we think about the fixed income market, mm-hmm. 6 months ago, July 2016, we were at the bull market peak or bottom in yields, peak in price, at about 1.35 in 10-year Treasury yields. So even though the market is worried about inflation, and rightly so, because expectations have picked up, we think that allocating capital within fixed income, for example, we feel more confident doing that in select components of the fixed income market than we did 6 months ago. So a lot of this is, looking at the signs in the market. What are they telling us? And, that's not being tactical. We think that that's just, being a cautious investor and looking at valuations is really in the best interest of our clients. But, within sectors of the equity market, certainly there are opportunities. I mean, the technology sector, for example, is historically an extraordinarily expensive sector. And you still have names, the mega, growth names trading as though they're value stocks. And so there's plenty of opportunity out there. We
Such
think
as?
It may favor active investing a bit more than passive. And I will say we're a wealth management firm that can invest both actively and passively. So I'm not beating the drum on what we do here. But this may be, in fact, be the first year in many where active performs better than it has in the past.
So when you look out at those names, are you looking for sort of everyday names that other people looked at, or are you kind of digging in the weeds here?
We are digging in the weeds. I mean, at the sector level here, take an example, utilities. And I've talked about utilities a couple of times on this program. But, we often read about utilities as the electrical generation utilities, the Southern companies of the world, the Duke Powers of the world. And we think the opportunity in utilities is in wonderfully managed, continuously dividend rising natural gas distribution and water distribution utilities. I mean, you think about the infrastructure discussion that's happening in sort of post-election America, what better place could you think of than water infrastructure and water distribution, particularly when we look at what happened in Michigan last year with the lead in the water systems. You have these publicly traded companies that are doing wonderful jobs. They're actually seeing real unit growth, real return on equity growth, real earnings growth, instead of the electric generation companies, frankly, that are seeing huge cost overruns in everything from their traditional generation to nuclear generation. And we don't really hear or read about this sort of small, nice pocket of the utility market that's just been doing this for decades really well. And so these are areas that we continue to focus on.
Could we have a market that's just kind of stuck and doesn't go anywhere, considering the run-up that we saw following the November. I mean, we could have anything. I get that. But when you guys kind of really look at the market to kind of get an idea of maybe what this year, how it might play out, I don't know. What do you see generally?
Well, you know, I think that we need to reduce our expectations for future returns. Part of that's driven by math on the fixed income side. The yield to maturity of a basket of securities that's represented in the Bloomberg Barclays Aggregate Bond Index is, call it 2.5%. 10 years ago, it was more like 4.5%. So if the bundle of securities within that index matures over the course of the life of that basket, it's going to only return to investors 2.5%. That's just math. So part of the sort of 60-40 portfolio that people talk about, we can do the math on that. That's going to be a lower future return. And the relationship, of course, from fixed income to equities to inflation has always been there. So we should anticipate, not to mention the demographic headwinds that we're seeing around the world, we should anticipate equity returns, yes, to be positive and more positive than fixed income over the long haul, but probably lower than they have been historically. So I think that's a huge consideration, whether you're a pension fund, whether you're a family that's thinking about retirement. There are a lot of considerations here.
Obviously, time horizon considerations as well. But we've got some changes in tax policy, possible repatriation. Repatriation could be a really interesting thing for companies, because the last time that happened, we saw companies spend a lot of money on buying back their own shares and on even special dividends. And while that might not be the public policy that we would all imagine, that being spending, you know, hiring and R&D, what does it mean for investors, and how are you structuring portfolios to respond to that possibility?
Well, it's a great question, and it wouldn't surprise me, and there's some talk that's already been had about this, that repatriation of foreign earnings plays into sort of a multifaceted infrastructure deal in Congress, where companies can essentially bring back their earnings if they would either invest in a public-private partnership, or where that tax would be dumped immediately into an infrastructure spending fund. So there can be some huge benefits there. I'll just say, though, that, you know, for the most part, you're right. The benefit has been at the corporate level, you know, increased dividends, maybe debt issuance, financial engineering, if you will. What we would like to see is corporations, and I think this will be an interesting story if it plays out, and it could play into inflation, but will corporations start increasing their capital expenditures again? And the velocity of money and it has been highly correlated to capital expenditures, capital spending, and that's just been massively sort of an elusive variable over the last 10 years. The velocity of money is at sort of basement levels, and I think that is that's a concern that we should all be looking at.
What's the big risk to the market environment this year? Just got about 20 seconds.
Oh gosh, well, I mean, there's still significant geopolitical uncertainty, and usually we talk about that from a foreign policy perspective, mm-hmm. but we do have a new president, and I think there are a lot of questions about how he will truly function and what his policies will really be on the trade side, and whether or not they will ultimately truly benefit the United States economy, and the degree to which we posture towards China and even to our friends, both yeah. militarily and economically. It'll be very interesting to see. So a lot of risks, but also opportunities.
Well, good to get your thoughts, Aaron. Thank you. Aaron Kennan, co-founder, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, on the phone in New York. This is Bloomberg.